For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
For full details, including terms and conditions, visit unlock.com/legal. Call 1-888-780-6854 to speak with a representative today. Actor portrayal. Terms and conditions apply. Not available in all states.
Hey, homeowners, can I get a minute of your time? If you need cash but don't want another loan, I've got the perfect solution. You can access up to $500,000 of your home's equity without monthly payments or interest ever with Unlock. This isn't a loan. It's a home equity agreement. With Unlock, you may qualify for cash today in exchange for a share of your home's future value. No debt, no extra bills, just financial flexibility on your terms. Use the money however you want. Home improvements, paying off debt, investing, or boosting your retirement savings. Unlike HELOCs, home equity loans, or cash out refis, there are no monthly payments. No stress. You've built this equity. Now it's time to use it. Go to unlock.com for more information.
Don't wait. Call 888-780-6854 to unlock the equity in your home and get up to $500,000 in cash with no monthly payments and no interest ever. Call 888-780-6854, 888-780-6854, or visit unlock.com. That's unlock.com for more information.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes cynical and negative world, 98PXY dares to feel good.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
This is Moose and Breezy's Vibe Check.
Yeah.
PXY mornings on the number one hip music station, 98PXY.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Time for the Vibe Check on PXY Mornings. What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. It's Moose, it's Breezy, and we're just...
checking in.
On those wonderful vibes, 585-252-9800. Are the vibes up? Please tell us why this morning. We love hearing from you. Where's our friends at, Breeze?
Amanda's here, said, good morning, Breezy and Moose. Feeling good because it's my birthday and I have a massage and facial planned.
What? Well.
Oh, I love that moment for you.
We got to wish you a huge happy birthday this morning, Amanda.
Massive.
Huge.
Yep.
Get after it today.
Go get that facial and that massage.
Happy 20th.
Just as I expected, it was like beautiful out yesterday besides the rain. And then it was snowing this morning in Fairport, so...
Oh, that's tough. That's really tough.
Just talked about it yesterday. When am I going to switch that closet over? Probably June. That's probably when it feels most safe to do so.
You got to bring out those rompers.
I know. It's so important to bring out those rompers.
It is 41 for the high today. And yeah, walking outside this morning...
I'm in shorts.
Are you? Are you wearing shorts?
Fully.
Well, why did you do that?
I had no idea.
You don't check the temp?
Gambling with it. Yeah. No, I want to just risk it for the biscuit.
It's going to be a little windy today, too. So,
oh, dear.
You might want to cover those walking sticks up.
Oh, dear.
Where's Nico and Steve? Isn't it payday?
Right. Where are you guys?
Come on, guys. A little consistency.
Would be amazing. Who else is here? Katie's here. She says, good morning. Feeling good. Moose, I was at your event last night. You crushed it. Out in Fairport.
Thank you so much. You know what? I'm not one to toot my own horn, but I think I did crush it last night, guest bartending. So true story, the first 20 seconds behind the bar, I accidentally shattered a full bottle of Tito's on the floor. I was like, I'm really sorry, you guys. I don't know what happened.
Dan's like, yeah, this wasn't really the best idea. We're bleeding money at this point.
I mean, it shattered a full bottle of Tito's. I'm like, really?
Did you drop really it? Sorry.
Yeah, I dropped it. I picked it up to make a drink. It slipped right out of my hands.
And then you got to burn all the ice. And, yeah, and
you know, for the rest of the gig, I just constantly, that's what I had to hear all night. They would not let me forget about it.
Yeah.
But for those of you that came out last night to support Equicenter and raise some money for them, that was
my girlfriend so said awesome. Her drink wasn't horrible. So
no, she asked for what? Moscow Mule?
Yes.
She goes, did you put ginger beer in this? I said, actually, give it back.
Yeah. The main ingredient of a Moscow Mule. So
I know.
It's like, so good. So good.
Thanks for coming out to support.
Yeah, a couple more people weighing in. Gina's here, says feeling great this morning because just found the wedding dress of my dreams and can't wait to marry the man of my dreams.
They say the first 7 years is always the hardest.
Oh, Gina. Pop off queen.
Full of optimism here on the show.
So are your vibes just that you crushed it last night or?
For the most part, yeah. I had a lot of fun. And then I got home. Tried to unwind because I was so overstimulated.
Oh, I was like, you went to the bar? You went to the wine bar? Unwind?
Okay. No, I went home and I watched an episode of Black Mirror.
Does that make you feel like bad about yourself? Like, does that give you anxiety?
No, I think the shows are so incredibly written that you just get sucked into the episodes. Trying to figure out what's going to happen. How's it going to end? And I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, though, I will say I had a hard time falling asleep last night. I don't think it's from the show. That's not how I operate. But I think it was because I was so hungry and didn't want to eat. So at 11 o'clock at night, I got up and had 2 full teaspoons of peanut butter and then went back to bed.
That's what I had for dinner last night, too.
You hate peanut butter.
No, I've been like, I know I do. I definitely do. But I've been on this like weird peanut butter grind recently.
Really?
Yes.
Which kind?
So I get the like reduced fat Wegmans brand.
Yeah.
With the green lid.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I don't like it like too oily. You know what I mean? I don't like when there's like oil sitting on top.
Yeah, that's the more all natural type, but you like it creamy.
Yes, 100. But yeah, I've been doing the whole spoon and spoon out in the mouth type of thing.
Yeah, that's what I did last night. Yeah. And then I went to bed. I was like, well, that's a late night snack.
Is peanut butter good for you?
You know, like the all natural peanut butter, some people choose almond butter over peanut butter, especially if they put it in a smoothie. But it's packed with protein and there's a lot of health benefits to it. I love it.
Okay.
I'm a peanut butter fiend. You can put it in my pie. You can put it in a Reese's peanut butter cup.
I just feel like for the longest I didn't eat it because I was afraid of choking.
No.
It's very gooey, and I definitely have felt as if I couldn't breathe when I was eating it prior, but
yeah, you got to wash it down with an espresso martini.
Right, of course.
Are your vibes up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little annoyed about the snow, but it is what it is.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about that, Breeze.
Nothing you can do about that.
What did you expect? It's April 16th. All right, guys, Easter Sunday. We hope you guys have some plans with the fam or whatever you're choosing to do. Coming up for the big story of the day, speaking of drinks, there's a new bill to sell wine in grocery stores. And the goal is aiming to find a middle ground in the long debated issue of do we sell wine in the grocery stores in New York State? Right now it's looking like, yes, that may happen. But like anything in life, there's a catch. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
Got something to say? Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station, 98 PXY.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, Breeze. What's up, guys? There's a new bill to sell wine in grocery stores. So the goal right now is aiming to find a middle ground in the long-debated issue of selling it in New York State grocery stores. But here's the catch. Because, you know, as you know, there's always a catch. The bill would allow grocery stores to sell wines, but only those that use products from or were produced in New York State. So the proposal seeks to satisfy consumer demand while supporting New York businesses. So liquor stores would be able to sell wines from outside New York, but a second bill set to be proposed by Senator Borrello would allow them to sell foods such as cheese, wine, crackers, and olives, something that they currently are not allowed to do. So obviously you have a lot of local liquor stores like East Ave Liquor that I frequent, concerned because 60% of their sales comes from wine. So you start putting it in grocery stores, that becomes a problem.
I know, but you can't get like your Kim Crawford there. I mean, that's not produced here in New York. You can't get like the brand names. Like, there's a lot of wineries here that obviously can be sold, but the ones that are coming and imported from California, they can't be sold in grocery stores. So
some of these liquor stores have a contract with New York State where they can't sell beer, obviously. It's a totally separate license. So you can't have the two of them in the same spot, like beer and wine, for example. And now the changes that they want to make, it's let's take something away from you and still have you under that same contract.
Yeah.
It's not fair to some of these owners of these liquor stores. But you want to know who expressed support for the bill? Wegmans.
Of course they did.
Saying, we have always been a supporter of local and regional products that are produced where we have stores. We support the legislation that would provide convenience to New York consumers by giving them access to wine in grocery stores. See, that's the problem too, though.
Some wine.
Some wine, but Wegmans is already selling beer. So adding wine in there, that's not something that liquor stores can do. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem that they're having with it. Whether this bill is passed or not, I know there's a lot of people that are for it out of the convenience. If you're at Wegmans, you want to grab a bottle of wine.
Right.
You can do it on the spot. Of course, we do want to help out our local businesses here, like a lot of the liquor stores we shop at.
I just wish, it was more like how they do it down south where it's the grocery store and then attached to is just like a separate entity that is a liquor store. Like it's just a one-stop shop.
Yeah. You see, the convenience of when I was in California is you could buy all your hard liquor right in a CVS or a Walgreens or a Target or any grocery store. Just go to the liquor aisle. And I got accustomed to that. So when I would come home and visit, like for the holidays, my mom's like, hey, can you run and go pick up a bottle of wine? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I would go to CVS. I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's my mistake. 585-252-9800 for There I Said It This Morning. This is the segment where we give you a chance to clear the air and share all of your unpopular opinions. Anything goes this morning. We're going to get to your messages coming up next.
Miss out on 98PXY's Last Flyaway to see Kendrick Lamar.
Want to clear the air? Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. My mother-in-law's cooking is mediocre at best. If young adults want to start buying their own homes, maybe they should stop ordering avocado toast. I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show. There. I said it. Now, doesn't that feel better? BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There I Said It on the number one hip music station. 98 PXY.
Do not hold it in this morning, you guys. You got something you need to get off your chest? Vent to Breezy and I. 585-252-9800 for There I Said It.
Although it is early, they are here and they're ramped and they are ready.
We love it.
Let's start out with this. Baby showers and bridal showers are the most miserable gatherings to ever attend. There I Said It.
That's so tough, you guys.
What I don't like about them is, like, it's not that I have an issue with them whatsoever. I just think they're all the same. Like, I want to go to a bridal shower that's
a different theme.
Not at 11 a.m. with brunch and, French toast. Like, I just went to a bridal shower that was 4 to 6 on a Saturday night. It was a pizza party.
Oh, that's fun.
We didn't have to, like, play games.
No, like, laser tag. Let's get drunk and do laser tag.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let's go to a bar.
I love the cookies. Where are they from? Oh, they're Savoyas. Oh, I love Savoyas.
Pulls a cat hair out of it. This person says, my hot take is if you are about to miss your turn or your exit, you should simply miss it and then redirect. Do not brake in the middle of traffic or fly across four lanes of the highway. It's not that serious.
Yeah. Janine, tell us what's going on at 490. A 10-car pileup. Derek's
here. I've been sitting here since Monday. The traffic is so bad because they don't have a bridge anymore. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, Fairport's a mess.
No, so I mean, yes, it is. We had to do the whole thing yesterday, but Bushnell's Basin Bridge, non-existent, takes you 49 minutes just to get to Victor.
Plan ahead, you guys. You got to plan ahead. Let's go over to our friend Derek here. What's up, Derek? So explain to me why there are people who think it's cool to shame people who eat dogs and cats, but eating cows, pigs, and chickens is totally fine. It's absolute hypocrisy. There, I said it. All right, let's go over to Trey.
Okay.
Trey says, hey, Moose and Breezy, I wish being broke wasn't such a turnoff for women. 2025 has been a struggle. There, I said it. Hang in there, King.
You got it.
Trey.
You're doing amazing.
It gets better, I promise. Keep trucking.
You do you.
Don't look back. Keep going. You think you're broke? You should talk to our intern, Joe.
He had to pay for...
We've all been there. Come on.
He had to pay for a brand new bumper, and then his card got hacked, so...
You're talking to a guy who had to go sell plasma at a clinic to go buy a couple cans of chili and a loaf of bread.
Right.
I know. I've been there. Been there, done that. Who's this? Amy? Good morning, Moose and Breezy. As a parent with two kids who constantly seem to have my hands full, I wish spring break this week would never end. I think kids should absolutely have more time off from school to spend with their families. There, I said it. Oh, are you nuts?
Yeah.
Parents are screaming at the radio. Send them back.
A teacher's weighing in this morning and said this. Just because I'm a teacher and I get these breaks off plus summer break does not mean that my job is easy or that I do less work than anyone. There, I said it. That is true.
You still got a plan. You still got a lesson plan, right? Hey, good morning. Whoever that Trey dude is that wrote in, you just keep being you, man. Women who make fun of men that make less than 40K a year make me sick. There, I said it.
Jay's here. If you are or aren't from Greece, I am. You must admit it is the worst place in the entire city. There,
why?
I said it.
Why is it the worst place?
If you are or aren't from Greece, I am. You must admit it's the worst place around Rock.
It's hard for me to admit it's the worst place because I have so many core memories there of, you know, just driving around in Pontiac Grand Am, going to tanning bed.
Like, I'm a big vibes person. And like when my wheels touch the bounds of Greece, like vibes are just off.
Why?
I'm a big vibe person.
Oh, get out. Shut up.
I can't really, like, describe it.
The vibes are off when you...
The vibes are shifted. I don't know.
Why do you think that is?
I like Hilton.
Greece and Henrietta are very similar.
Yeah, Henrietta's
obviously, it's better? So. Yeah, because they have a lot more plazas. You know?
Yeah. Want to spend money? Go to Henrietta. It's impossible not to.
Yeah, they have a beautiful mall with a beautiful 5-star Ethiopian restaurant in it. Yeah, so if you guys feel like getting diarrhea, that's why.
Oh my God.
Let's go to Sue Ann.
It's way too early.
Sue Ann says, I find dentist appointments to be extremely relaxing. There, I said it. And I'm not even talking about being hopped up on meds. I just find the chair to be comfortable. Sue Ann, I'm with you. My last dentist appointment, so relaxing.
Sticking a scalpel in your mouth. So what are you doing for Easter? Slice his tongue open.
Okay. And then I think mine for today. For some of you, this may be a hot take, especially if you were at Tin Cup last night for the guest bartending event. I think everyone has hidden talents that they haven't tapped into yet. And I think mine is bartending.
I highly disagree.
I'm a great bartender.
I couldn't disagree more. You literally shattered a bottle of Tito's first 5 seconds on the floor.
You forgot
my girlfriend's ginger beer, the one ingredient you need in a Moscow Mule. I didn't trust you to make my espresso martini.
I could have nailed it. I could have nailed it. I was making drinks left and right,
you get
baby.
Off, you get off the from behind the bar, you go, it's the most stressful 30 minutes of my entire life.
It was.
Like, right.
Anxiety-driven job, and I give any good bartender a ton of credit. You guys rock. But I think I have what it takes to be you. That's all I'm saying. So one guy asked me if he can get a Optimus Prime last night. I said, what's in that, whiskey? He goes, it's an IPA. I said, we don't have that here. Hit the bricks, pal. Not getting you an Optimus Prime.
The bar manager comes running over, like, it's on tap right there. Like, thank you so much.
98PXY. Just when you think you've got life figured out. You're a parent now. Moose and Breezy hear your dilemmas.
Completely anonymous.
And 100% supportive for another episode of PXY Mornings. Parental Confidential.
You know, I think anyone who is a parent may have experienced their child choking at least once. And it's the scariest thing you can imagine, especially when you feel helpless.
I hope that's not the case. But unfortunately, Moose, that is the reality.
I mean, what do you do in that situation? We have a friend of ours, Jess, on the line, who has experienced her son choking multiple times, mm-hmm. who says she's had no choice but to act fast. And even as adults, I think we've choked. We know how scary it is.
Yeah.
Let's go over to our friend Jess this morning to talk about her personal experiences she's had with her son. Hi, good morning, Jess.
Good morning.
Tell us, because you've been in a scary situation like this a handful of times, yes?
Sure, I have. So I am a mom of two. My kids are now 13.
Okay.
But they have an ASD diagnosis, and one of my sons is a high risk for choking because he tends to put things in his mouth.
Mm.
So over the course of the years, I've actually had to give him abdominal thrusts or, you know, the baby, like baby, what we used to call the Heimlich, multiple times, three times over the course of his life.
How old is he?
So now he is 13. The last time that he choked and I needed to do abdominal thrust was in 2020. So about 5 years ago.
Yeah. And then when he was younger, that was the case too?
Sure, certainly. But under the age of three, there were three incidences in which he needed back thrust, which for children, the Heimlich is different for kids under that age than for adults or for older children.
For those that aren't familiar, a back thrust, how does that work?
So with a kid, what you're doing is that you pick a child up essentially by their feet or any way that you can get their heads below their body. And you are doing like a basically hitting them between the shoulder blades to try to, get whatever's wedged in their esophagus out by kind of striking their back while they're facing down.
Oh, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But for your kids who have been through this a handful of times, I'm assuming they have a little PTSD at about this point. Is that safe to say or no?
Absolutely, yeah. My son who, I didn't recognize at the time. It was before he was diagnosed, and I didn't recognize just, how unusual it was that his ability, he puts a lot of things in his mouth, but he didn't necessarily chew and swallow correctly.
Right.
It has affected his eating. He to this day still struggles with certain textures and foods, and I think it probably is related to PTSD from choking.
Absolutely. I was looking into this a little bit because I was trying to figure out what is the statistic, and the average is 70 children under the age of 10 die of choking every year, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, as a mom who's been through this multiple times and you have a son with a disability, that adds another layer, right? So is there anything that you carry around or can give advice to other parents about to, I don't know, maybe just be aware of your surroundings, of your child, of the signs of maybe kids are unpredictable. You know what I mean? They're going to put things in their mouth.
Well, for one thing, I happen to be, because of my career, I work in human services. I work directly with people. Mm-hmm. I do the annual or every other year I take CPR and first aid training. And it really is true what they say about your training, right? When you go to these trainings, if you keep up with them, if you recertify, they'll tell you that in an emergency, your instincts will kick in and you will just do your training.
Sure.
And I found that really to be the case. In every instance, I don't have time to panic. I panicked after it was finished.
Right.
So, I recognize the sign that my son is choking. I immediately act. And then usually every time what happened is that, I am able to dislodge whatever's stuck in his esophagus, and then, you know, he has vomited.
Sure. Or,
but then he's completely fine. And it's after that, it's after he, you know, he's fine that I start to feel
You're
all
like,
the emotions.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Is it?
Right.
Do some parents, I don't know if this is a technique of just sticking your finger down their throat. Is that something?
Actually, that would not be a good idea.
Oh, it wouldn't be.
Okay.
Go to the training, yeah.
Okay,
because
that wouldn't
you could be doing, they used to teach a finger sweep, which is what you're talking about. But what you could be doing is pushing whatever's in their mouth back down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. See, it was a scary situation for me growing up as a kid, too, because at 7 years old, I would eat fast and not chew.
Mm.
And I choked on a Dorito, and we were at a family party, and my cousin had to give me the Heimlich. And I never forgot that because I was so just...
Oh, my God, Moose.
Yeah, I thought... when you're sitting there as a kid choking, and everybody around you starts panicking, oh, my... It's a
massive triangle lodged in your throat is crazy.
It's a scary situation.
Yeah. Wow.
So I can't imagine all the times you've had to go through it. That's wild.
Jess, have you ever had to experience the life vac or the tool that kind of suctions it out?
I think if I was not trained now,
right?
And if I hadn't already jumped in with the training that I have without that device, I would have bought that device, right?
Sure.
Because I've seen it. We know how our logarithms work and our phones work, right? So
yeah.
Anti-choking devices do pop up in my feed. I've seen it. I've heard it to be effective. I just don't think at this point, since I've been trained without it for as long as I have, that I would run to it.
Right.
But I can understand. I think it's a good idea. I definitely think, especially for new parents,
right.
I think it's a good idea to have it on you because, yes, it is like it's more common than people realize. That right, for two reasons. What Moose just mentioned, you could just be chewing too fast,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it could be the kind of thing that happens with my son, where a lot of times when, like, he was choking on a quarter in 2020, right?
Oh,
it's not that he was eating a quarter. I just didn't realize he had a quarter in his mouth, and he got on a sensory swing. So then he took a deep breath, and I recognized the sounds of asphyxiation immediately and just acted.
Yeah, that's...
So,
is there anything you don't allow your kids to eat?
No, because the same child also has self-selected through, like, because of trauma, likely, what he can and cannot eat. Like, he is very, very picky.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did, when he was younger, I did cut up his food very small. Like,
right.
I would keep, like, again, because of my job, I have a lot of training on things like, you know, swallowing, chewing, safe eating.
Right.
So I would modify his food, but not anymore. Because for him, it's not so much his swallow of food. It's the inedible objects that I try to keep out of his mouth. But
yeah.
He picks things up. So,
like Breezy mentioned, I mean, there's 70 children under the age of 10 that die every year just from choking. And so, Jess, you would definitely recommend any parent getting training for...
Just to have...
Yeah.
For their kids and for people around you. Yeah. Like, it's.
Yeah, I think all of us,
yeah.
You know, you never know when you're going to run into a situation where you need to pull that out of your back pocket and use it to save somebody's life.
I feel like back in 2023, mm-hmm. when the Damar Hamlin thing took place, we all were like CPR certified, but like, it's just as important for Heimlich maneuver and choking, you know.
Yep.
Training.
And it's
as well.
All the same training. You learn it all in one class, right?
Okay.
You're going to learn first aid. You're going to learn choking prevention and what they're called. I think Heimlich was like the name of the person who invented it. So they call it now just abdominal thrust. But yes, it's the Heimlich maneuver.
Sure.
And if you do your training, they'll ask you to come back every 2 years. And then the retraining is a little bit shorter. But it really does work if you keep up with it.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
When emergency hits, you will just act and then you can panic later.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time this morning and coming on with us. We appreciate it. Tell your kids we said hello.
I will.
Okay. Talk soon.
Bye, Jess.
Bye.
Rochester's number one hit music morning show wants to hear from you. Call or text Moose and Breezy at 585-252-9800. The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
The story, like, literally makes me sick to my stomach. And I know I'm not, like, a huge animal person, but this will make your stomach churn. Defenseless puppies were rescued after they were found left next to a dumpster in Rochester. Lollipop Farm said the litter of two-day-old babies which still had the umbilical cord attached to them, were found in a bucket.
Jeez.
A good Samaritan came to rescue them, and they brought the puppies straight to Lollipop Farm, where they received emergency care and were brought back from basically the brink of death. They're like the cutest things I've ever seen in my entire life. There's so many of them. I think there's like seven. They're now around 3 weeks old, and the puppies have since opened their eyes, and they're doing well. They're thriving. Obviously, Lollipop Farm played a massive role in that. Their survival is nothing short of a miracle and made possible by the dedication of the staff, experts of the veterinarian team and foster teams, and their unwavering compassion of the community members as well, said Lollipop Farm. If you want to maybe rescue one of these puppies, take one of them home, they have a link on their website for you to go check them out. But they're literally so cute. Obviously, they're going to need to stay at Lollipop Farm for a little until they're healthy, fully vaccinated, ready to be adopted. I mean, puppies can't really go home with anybody until, like, I think it's 6 months.
I don't know the number.
Yeah. 4 to 6 months.
It always has been.
But they're literally 3 weeks old, so.
It's always blown my mind. It's so disturbing to think about the amount of people out there that are just have no problem throwing animals near a dumpster like trash.
Yeah.
Like, see ya.
I can't believe somebody found them, too. They're literally so cute. I can't even get over it.
Yeah, I saw the pictures this morning. Remember, guys, adopt. Don't shop.
Here's your opportunity.
Well, this is a convenient transition. We love our pets, and losing them and having to let go is always the hardest part, obviously. But this morning, we're asking the question, do you go in with your pet during their last moments or not? We would love to hear your thoughts on this topic this morning. We'll talk about it coming up next on PXY Mornings.
Miss out on 98 PXY's last flyaway to see Kendrick Lamar.
It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Welcome back to the show. I saw this on Facebook yesterday, and I thought it was interesting because everyone loves their pets.
Yes.
And we all know they're not going to be around forever.
Some more than others.
When the day comes to have to say goodbye, do you go into the room with your pet during their last moments? Or do you choose to leave the room? Tell us why. 585-252-9800.
It's a very tough, like, emotional decision, obviously.
Well, it is. And I was actually very surprised to learn how many people don't want to be in the room with their dying animal, their pet. But
yeah.
Would you agree that during these last moments is when your pet needs you the absolute most? I would assume so. Sure. I never grew up with a dog, never had a cat. We had a pet rabbit, Snickers, for 13 years. Mm-hmm. Most people know that about me. Right. But when the day came to put him down, I was not there. My mom and grandma was. But man, I was a little torn up by it because part of me wishes I was. He was part of the family. Regardless of what animal you have, when they come into your life and they're there that many years with you, they're automatically a part of the family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And for you to like just let them be is...
Oh, it's terrible.
It's as hard as it probably is. I mean, I've experienced with my own family dogs. It's necessary to do. You have to put that hardship aside and be there for your pet just like they've been there for you for the past however many years they were with you and your family.
Yeah, some people, they have a hard time letting go, like your mom. She turned all your dogs into taxidermies, which is crazy.
These things happen.
Hello, PXY.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Carmen.
Hey, what's happening, Breezy?
Oh, nothing much. What are you doing? What's up?
Hey, just driving. So I have a thought on the pet thing you guys were just talking about. Do you go in with your pet?
Yes.
Let it rip.
You absolutely have to go in with your pet. They're a family member, so I don't know how you can't go in.
True. Yeah,
I know. They're part of your life. I kind of agree with that, too. As hard as it is for some people, you got to spend your last moments with them.
We got a collie when I was probably 4 or 5 years old. Beautiful little girl named Queenie.
Queenie.
And by the time, you know, I was 18, I came home and I found her in the garage and she had like a stroke.
No,
and so,
not
yeah.
Queenie.
So she was a big, beautiful dog. We took her to the vet, and next day my father asked, you know, do you want to come into the room with us? You know, and I'm like, absolutely, I want to come in.
Yeah, right. That's the best thing, you know.
So we went in, and they gave her that stupid shot. But yeah. I cradled her head as she went away, and I'm so glad I went. And
That's a good last moment.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up now thinking about it, but I'm so glad I went because how could you just leave your pet?
Yeah.
I know.
People do it. They do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for calling up and sharing, man. I appreciate it, Carmen.
Thanks for the vulnerability.
Yeah, guys. Have a great day.
We love you. See ya.
See ya, man.
Bye. See ya.
Let me go over to Chrissy's text coming in right now. It says, I think some owners forget that you are the center of their life, but they are also your family. So no matter how hard it is, you can't leave them. Leah says, don't let them die in a room with a stranger in a place they don't even like.
Right.
It's very painful for veterinarians to see how pets cannot find their owner during their last minutes of their life. Mm. They don't understand why the owner left them. Don't be a coward because it's too painful for you. You have to think about your pet. Let me see. Hi, Eileen. I know Eileen's been on patiently on hold here. Eileen, are you there?
Hi there. Good morning.
So what are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, I feel that all pets deserve to have last wishes before they die. I recently and it breaks my heart to even have to say this, but I never thought that the day would come, but I recently had to have my dog Benji put down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. He was a Yorkshire Terrier, and I'm telling you, he was the smartest dog you have ever met.
Sure.
And I just wanted to say that it completely blows my mind how many people, when it's time to put their animal down, just leave the room. And I do get it. It's painful, but they don't realize that it's in these last moments of life that their pet needs them their absolute most.
Right.
And there are just, so many people that don't deserve to even have a pet. Every single pet deserves to have last wishes.
And so, how so? What do you mean by that?
How does that work exactly, considering the fact that animals can't communicate to their owners or anyone for that matter?
Well, they could, but just without using words.
Right. I'm not really good with interpretations. So.
Well, when they die, and you would be surprised how many pet owners don't ask their pet what their dying wishes are. If you have had your animal for over 10 years, then you should already know what it is that they would love before they take their last breath.
Okay, so what was your dog Benji's last wishes?
Well, Benji's last wishes were simply a Himalayan bacon chew. And I think all you have to do is talk to your pets.
How did he communicate that to you, though, Eileen?
I just looked into his eyes and I asked that question, what would you like? Tell mommy what you would like before you go to heaven. And I just waited for the response. That's what he said.
You felt it in your soul?
I did. It's like my third eye could read what he was telling me.
Okay.
It's true. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. Just do it. Everybody needs to do it.
I'm sorry you're hurting.
Grieving.
Thank you. I mean, human beings are all asked what they would like before they pass. Why shouldn't we ask our pets? They deserve the same treatment, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you looking to, well, obviously, like Breezy mentioned, I know you're grieving right now. Are you looking to get a new pet at some point to help keep you company?
Oh, my God. No, I can't even possibly even think about that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But the last thing I want to say is simply that I don't think people should even get an animal if you're going to deny them their last wish before they take their last breath. I just think that it's totally selfish.
Well, just ask your pet what their last wishes are before they take their last breath.
Yes. And if you don't, it's just selfish.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
All right. Well.
Well, thanks, Eileen.
Yeah, thank you for the insight. This is so helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. And all right. Well, good luck to you. And again, condolences to the passing of Benji. Is it?
Yeah. Rip.
All right. Thank you all very, very much, and have a great day.
All right. You too, Eileen. Take care now.
So insightful.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now, I don't do drugs, but I feel like I'm on something right now.
It was an interesting call.
So why did she sound like a Disney princess?
She's a sweet woman, Breezy. She's a sweet Grammy. Listen, I'm not trying to come off insensitive, but the Himalayan bacon chew had me, it got to me.
The third eye really was the one that sent me over the edge, so.
Right, okay.
My third eye read it.
She's confident, bold, and she thinks she has all the answers. BXY Mornings present Rochester's favorite game.
Can't
beat
Breezy.
Let's change the name to Can Beat Breezy, shall right? we?
Really? Been struggling, but that's okay. Our girl Breezy has 13 wins and 25 losses on the board. This is for your very own PXY Morning crew neck. It comes in any size in two vibrant colors, black or gray.
Yep, so vibrant.
Let's go to the
Get
phones.
Get those graphics on.
We're looking for caller 8 right now. PXY, who's this?
Wavy Davey.
Wavy Davey. Where are you calling from this morning, bud?
The office.
Okay, where's that? Where would that be?
We don't know that.
Gates, New York.
Gates, New York.
Gates, New York.
All right, buddy.
Not
well,
to be confused with Gates, Virginia.
I got good news for you. You are caller 8. You're going head to head with our girl Breezy. Do you have what it takes? I don't know. We'll be able to tell by you talking some trash to her. Let's hear your confidence level this morning. Where's it at?
Breezy, I know how you feel about a bar of soap and warm water, but I'm going to beat you so dirty you're going to want to take a shower.
I don't shower, so.
What? Maybe this was a mistake.
Oh my God,
okay,
go. No,
okay, Breezy's leaving the room. Okay, Wavy Davey, 5 questions on the board. You get 5 seconds on the clock to answer each one. If you end in a tie, you automatically get the win. And I'm going to be honest with you, today's questions are a little tough. Let's go to question number 1. Which Jonas brother did Miley Cyrus date?
I know nothing about those guys. Nick Jonas.
Going with Nick Jonas. All right, I'm locking you in with Nick Jonas. Question number 2. You have 5 seconds. Wavy Davey, what is the 23rd letter in the alphabet? Go.
W.
Locking you in. Final answer is W. Are you with us?
Yeah. Final answer.
Question number 3. Which planet is known as the blue planet?
Earth.
Going with Earth. And question 4. Dave, which part of the body becomes inflamed if you have dermatitis?
Skin.
Going with skin. Locking you in for skin. And then question number 5. Who is the name of the person who just won the Masters tournament in golf this past Sunday?
Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy. We're locking you in. That's your final answer. Let's bring our girl Breezy back into the room. And we're going to tally these up, Dave, see how well you did. Dave from Gates, not too shabby this morning, Breezy. You want to know how well he did?
Not really.
All right.
5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing's rigged, so it's fine.
All right, Breezy, I believe in you this morning. The questions are a little tough, but I know you can do it. Which Jonas brother did Miley Cyrus date?
Nick.
Question number 2. What is the 23rd letter in the alphabet? Go.
This is where we lose it. Cut the music. The wheels are coming off. W?
Going with W. Question number 3. Breezy, which planet is known as the blue planet?
Venus.
Question number 4. Which part of the body becomes inflamed if you have dermatitis?
Your skin.
And question number 5, Breezy. Who is the name of the person who just won the Masters tournament this past Sunday?
Bob. Don't know.
You're going with Bob.
Yeah.
Okay, where you going?
I love that guy.
Okay, we're going with Bob. Let's go back over to Davey. How do you think Breezy did, Davey?
I think she tanked.
You think she tanked?
To put it lightly. As usual.
Why don't we go ahead and run through the board here real quick, all right? Question number one, both of you got that correct. It was Nick Jonas. Question number two, the 23rd letter in the alphabet is W.
Question, is it really?
Yes.
Wow, I crushed.
Question three, which planet is known as the blue planet? The answer to that is Earth. Breezy said Venus, which obviously is actually a really good guess. And then question four, which part of the body becomes inflamed if you have dermatitis? It is the skin. And no, question five, Bob did not win the Masters. It was Rory.
Rory from Bob. Here? The one who married someone from here?
That's right, yeah.
They divorced, then got back together.
That's right.
That moment for them.
Yeah, you could have.
Not me not knowing his name, but knowing his entire family history.
Wavy Davey from Gates, congratulations, buddy. You just put Breezy on the board with 13 wins and 26 losses. How do you feel?
Oh, really good.
I love that really moment good. For you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, well, thanks for the threats this morning against beating Breezy with a bar of soap. Yeah, so we're going to put you on hold, but don't you worry, buddy. We're hooking you up with a PXY morning crew neck.
I don't know what he did or if he did prison time or what was going on, but there's something weird with that guy.
Here's an idea. Be a part of the show. Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
The number one hit music station. 98 PXY.
Chapel Rowan on PXY Mornings. Moose, Breezy. What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. 41 for the high today. There's a new bill to sell wine in grocery stores. Now, yes, it's exciting. Not for everybody. Not for everyone. Yeah. But the goal is aiming to find a middle ground here in the long-debated issue of selling it in New York grocery stores. But there's a catch. There's always a catch. The bill would allow grocery stores to sell wines, but only those that use products from or were produced in New York State, because the proposal seeks to satisfy consumer demands while supporting New York businesses. So liquor stores would still be able to sell wines from outside New York, but a second bill is set to be proposed that would allow them to sell foods such as cheese, wine, crackers, and olives. That's something they currently are not allowed to do. Now, obviously, you have a lot of local liquor stores, kind of like East Ave Liquor that I frequent. They're concerned because 60% of their sales come from wines. It's just a huge chunk.
That's not great.
You start putting it in grocery stores, that becomes a problem for local businesses. So basically, I mean, some of these liquor stores have a contract with New York State where they can't sell beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a completely separate license. You can't have the two of them in the same spot, like beer and wine, for example. But now the changes that they want to make is basically let's take something away from these local liquor stores. And you have different contracts. So it's basically not fair for some of the owners of these liquor stores. That's what they're saying. But one business that expressed support for the bill is Wegmans.
Really?
Saying we have always been a supporter of local and regional products that are produced where we have stores. We support the legislation that would provide convenience to New York consumers by giving them access to wine in grocery stores. Well, of course you would support it.
Right.
Because in a sense, they're cheating the system in a sense. So the people that are taking the hit here are the local liquor stores because they can't sell both. But if this wine gets into grocery stores within New York State, you have Wegmans already selling beer.
Right.
And malt beverages plus wine. Yeah, of course, they're winning.
It's so crazy how these like liquor laws work, because if you go to like a bar or maybe like a wedding, some like licenses are only beer and wine together combined.
That's
like
right.
A liquor license is a completely different thing. So like it's so different. It's so crazy how different everything is when it comes to the sale and production of alcohol.
You know,
all
I became
different types.
I became so used to just buying all of my hard liquor at like a Target or CVS when I was living
on
the West Coast.
Crazy.
So I do my grocery shopping and it was like, oh yeah, you know, I need a bottle of Basil Hayden and there it is.
Right.
So when I'd come home for the holidays, I would forget. And my mother would send me out to go get a bottle of wine, you know, and I would go and stop at a Walgreens or a CVS.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that's...
You're like, this is not it.
We don't do that here. Coming up on the show, we're asking the question, is it a red flag if you have been with someone close to a year and you have yet to get into an argument or disagreement with one another? From my personal experience, I'm going to say yes, but we want to hear from you guys on this topic. We'll talk about it coming up next on PXY.
Miss out on 98 PXY's Last Flyaway to see Kendrick Lamar.
How concerning is it to be in a relationship for close to a year with someone and yet you haven't had your first argument yet? Not even a disagreement. Is this a red flag that the relationship lacks any kind of depth? It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. I would make the argument that not ever getting into a heated discussion with your significant other or having any kind of fight with one another after dating for close to a year is not always good.
No, I wouldn't say that either. And I think that some people might be listening to this and thinking like, well, why do you want that toxicity? Why do you want to fight with your partner? It's not that you want to. It's just that you know and are familiar with how they're going to act in conflict, in disagreement, and know what you're in for. The last thing you want to do is get like 2-3 years into it and be like, I hate who they are when they're angry with me.
Well,
I hate the way they talk to me when we're disagreeing. And then what?
What do you guys think? I mean, from my own personal experience, it means you're not communicating with each other. And maybe you are. I mean, people handle things in certain heated discussions differently than others.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's healthy to put your fist through the drywall. Nope. Because people do that.
Right.
However, I had drinks with a close buddy of mine over the weekend, and his girlfriend of close to a year is telling all her friends that something's up with their relationship. And she says, we never fight. We haven't had any arguments. We haven't had any disagreements. And the only time he seemed a little annoyed is when I flushed one of my tampons down his toilet.
It kind of seems like...
And it clogged the pipes.
Lack of passion, in my opinion.
Yes, it's a lack of passion.
You know what I mean? It's like, do you even care about me?
Well, see, the problem is my buddy is super type B. He's really laid back. There's not a lot of things that get him going. You know what I mean? He's a go-with-the-flow type of guy. But he is annoyed that she's annoyed over the fact that they haven't fought. And his response is some girls love drama. And if they don't have it in their life, after a while, they go looking for it.
I don't really know if it's like necessarily that, though. I mean, like, sure, I agree with him. Like, that's totally valid and fair in some instance. But like, to not know your person, like, that you claim to like love and be in this great relationship with. Either they aren't fighting and that's like a huge problem, or they're fighting all the time and they act like they're not, or they're putting it out as a persona on either Instagram or to their friends.
Well,
like, oh my God, we never fight.
The people
they're
that are
beating the crap out of each other. So.
Oh, that's domestic. The people that are fighting a ton are the ones that are posting a ton on how great their relationship
is.
On
saying. Yeah. It's like always a front. It's always a facade. And like, I always say this, the longer the caption for birthday or anniversary or whatever the case may be, the more they hate each other.
In any relationship, we can all agree, everyone's on their best behavior in the beginning. You want to show the best sides of you. However, that fades after a while. And now you're 6 months in, you're a year in. You start to figure out what bothers people, what their pet peeves are, what they like, what they don't like.
Right.
And there's going to come... You know, maybe you disagree on politics. Maybe you disagree on how somebody handles their financing, but you got to have those conversations. And I asked him, I said, well, if you guys have been together almost a year and you haven't had one argument or disagreement, maybe you're not having any of those heavy conversations yet.
Right. Like maybe you're not talking about things that actually matter.
Correct. Maybe it's all very surface level.
Which also is not a great sign.
Carrie is weighing in this morning. You guys can too. 585-252. 9800. Everyone in the situation thinks fighting is to raise voices, feel angry, and maybe not speak for a while, and you have to make up afterwards. That's not always the case. If you're not having deep conversations or spending a majority of your time with your partner, then it doesn't leave room for friction or conflict or arguments.
Yeah.
And sometimes having those is healthy.
Yeah. This person says, my boyfriend and I didn't fight for the first year of our relationship, and I was a bit worried. Now we're about a year and a half in, and we argue a healthy amount, but they are the most healthy arguments I've ever had.
See, it's one way to, it's one thing to fight, and then it's one thing to fight and actually be productive when you do it, where it's healthy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I used to be the type of guy where
one sign of discomfort, I'd
shut down.
Yep.
And guys do that. They shut down. When things get uncomfortable or they feel triggered, it's right. Like, that's it. You're not getting a thing out of me for the next 5 hours. It's not healthy.
Healthy.
But going back Bruce to...
is running to the Hollywood Hotel.
Going back to Carrie's last text, I do agree with her. Relationship I was in for a little while a few years back, I think we got really good at arguing in a healthy way. Nobody was raising their voice or making threats. We would disagree and then talk about it in a healthy way. And I think fighting sometimes adds passion to the relationship.
Yeah.
It's like so much passion.
So much passion.
You know what I mean? It's that fire.
Are you just talking about makeup sex or?
That comes with it sometimes. Right. Sure.
For sure.
You know, where you're throwing furniture. Hey, guys. Good morning. Arguing is healthy. Total red flag. People who brag about never being in a fight most likely are in a boring, loveless relationship. Oh, she's going to trigger a couple people here.
My mom goes, sounds wonderful to me. Classic.
Your mom.
I love it.
Ah, that's great. Did you witness your parents arguing growing up? Like, just...
I plead the fifth.
Dude, I heard my parents one time at 10 years old having a blowout downstairs. Not like a blowout for me, but raising their voices. I remember my mom being very distraught. And I just remember freaking out at 10, and I ran to the stairs.
Are you guys going
to
get a divorce?
I yelled down the steps, I don't want you to get a divorce. It was about them, and then I made it about me, so then they had to come up and comfort me. I was freaking out. Ashley says, I've been married almost 11 years and we never had a fight. What? We've had disagreements, but we don't resolve them by fighting. And you don't need to fight or argue to have a healthy relationship, you guys. If the reason you're not fighting is because you're suppressing your feelings, yes, that's a problem. But if you both have enough emotional regulation to express your feelings constructively, then you have nothing to worry about.
Right.
That was well said, actually.
Absolutely.
It's very intelligent text.
So insightful.
Very intelligent text. Now, you've been in a relationship with your girlfriend coming up on a year, or has it? When's your 1 year?
May 31st.
Oh, next month.
Yeah.
So, in that time, you guys have gotten into some deep conversations and arguments and disagreements.
Absolutely. 150%.
Because I know this because you come in and... If you're not sharing it on the air, you're definitely unloading it on me.
No, fully.
So how do you guys handle your arguments? How do you fight?
You know, there's a ton of different ways, but I feel like we've gotten so good in this past year, like, of identifying how, like, fair fighting kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's not fair to throw threats or, like, say things that you don't mean in the heat of the moment. Because that definitely was a thing. And I was like, we're not going to do that. So, I just feel like...
Words cut.
And, like, if you're, like, in a relationship, and I'm not saying this about, like, my own, but, like, if you're in a relationship and you're, like, threatening to break up with the person, it's like, that's very unsafe.
Yeah.
It's very unsafe.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that's going to happen every time we fight, like, we should leave now. We should probably go.
It's the arguments where it's like, well, if you don't like it, there's the door.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to work on me.
Right.
It's just take it or leave it. And that's not good either, you know?
It's not healthy.
Yeah,
it's
so...
It's like an ultimatum, and that's not... Because being in a relationship is... It takes two to tango, right? So it's not just like one person's... way or the highway, although my girlfriend's probably listening right now thinking it is your way. It's always your way.
100%. But to my buddy, basically how I left it off was I told him, you know, once you guys actually start spending way more time together and having deeper conversations, I think you're going to see that those arguments are going to come up.
Spend way more time together? They've been together for a year.
He hasn't spent one full weekend with her.
Okay, well, that's strange.
It's either like a Friday and then I'll see you next Wednesday. It's very casual.
I think they might not like don't like each other that much.
Oh no, she's obsessed.
Is it the other way around, though? I don't know.
We'll find out. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks for the messages, you guys. PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy Breeze.
Oh, wow.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy. Sometimes it's super easy to play the victim and say, why me? Why do bad things always happen to me? Well,
me.
It's all how you choose to look at things. We don't always have control of certain things that happen to us in life, but you do have control over how you react
Correct.
To certain situations.
Correct.
Breezy did some digging because she's trying to better herself in 2025. And what better way to do that than to spend a majority of your time on TikTok? So she came across a theory that I've been applying to my day-to-day for a majority of my life. This is nothing new to me, but it may be for some of you guys. Tell us what the burnt toast theory is, Breezy.
Okay, so the burnt toast theory is basically, if for lack of a better term or example, if you're waking up in the morning and you're hustling, bustling to get out of the door and make it to wherever you're going on time, and you're making toast and you end up accidentally burning it, you could get really pissed off and say, like, it's not a thing. But we have someone to explain it better for us.
Yeah, if you want me to play the
audio. Yeah, let's do that.
All right, take a listen to this, you guys.
Have you ever heard of the burnt toast theory? It will change your mindset when you think about it. It's basically where you are making toast ready to roll out in the morning and your toast burns. So you're frustrated and you got to make new toast. And so that delay set you back a couple minutes in your day, right? However, when you think about it, that delay could have caused you to not be in an accident on the way to work, or it could have caused something else to happen that saved you from something else. Like, it was protecting you by making you be a little bit late. When you think about the burnt toast, it makes you look in things in a completely different light, because it's understanding that things are happening for you and not against you.
Well said.
Yeah.
I think she explained it perfectly.
Yes, I do too. And like, you know, it's very easy for one to take that scenario, get super pissed off about it, and feel sorry for themselves and get down on themselves. But if you really like just shift your mindset and shift your lens and your thinking, you really can think about it in a completely different way. I know people who... something happened with traffic or something like this, and they were supposed to get on a plane, and the plane didn't land. You know what I mean? There's things like that, and
where you're basically being protected. And I know it's easy to get frustrated, especially when our plans fall through. It's the worst. But you got to think about it in terms of sometimes things happen for a very specific reason, whether we understand what it is or not. And sometimes it takes months, sometimes it takes years. But if you look at it as, hey, things are happening for me and not against me, I just think your entire perspective about life would change for the better.
This is like kind of goes hand in hand with the let them theory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I mean, the let them theory is more geared towards people, but this is more towards like the universe.
Well,
let that toast burn, you know?
People, I think situations too. I didn't get the job.
Right.
Whatever. you know what I mean?
Their loss. But like, you're destined for something better. And I think it's frustrating for people to implement this theory because we all run on instant gratification. We all need instant gratification. Our attention span is like that of a gnat, especially in this day and age. So we want to know the payoff right then and there because you're annoyed.
Yeah.
But that's not always how it's going to work.
The best example I have in my own personal experience of this is I was in this job that I hated when I was living on the West Coast. I hated it. And I applied for this dream job that I wanted. And I got an interview. I did a second interview. And I had my hopes up. It felt good. I was about to make more money. It just felt like everything was in place. And I had the final interview, and it's like they just took the biggest dump on me. Like, you're overqualified. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, you're making this type of money. But for me, to them, it was a small amount of money. To me, it was great. I so badly wanted this job. And they basically called me to tell me that I didn't get it, but they appreciate my time and all that. And I was so bummed out for a week. And then COVID happened.
Mm.
And everybody at that particular job got let go.
Mm.
And the job that I had that I hated so much paid me more. And I happened to stay there and work all through COVID and support myself when everybody around me was getting let go
right.
and getting laid off. And I was like, man, that was a close call.
That is the just absolute definition of the burnt toast theory.
That's what that is.
Like, it pissed you off in the moment. You were really upset about it in the moment. But for the greater good of your life purpose, it all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Can you think of a particular situation? Or maybe you guys too, 585-252-9800. Have you applied the burnt toast theory in your life? Give us an example. I know you got a few of them.
Because
you complain every day.
Yeah, fully. I really don't know. The reason I don't know, and I'll be transparent, is because I have been so negative.
Well, think about it in terms of this. You've been in some pretty toxic relationships in the past. And
that
it's
is
like,
true.
Why me? Why did this happen to you? But maybe it was setting you up for the doors to open to something so much better, which you found now.
Right. I guess that is true. I was in one of the most toxic relationships of my entire life. And it was like, it honestly really deteriorated my mental health, like to beyond measure. And I sat there for a long time and felt super sorry for myself and bad. And I was down bad, right? But in that time, over the course of the, I don't know, 4 years that I've been out of that, you know, I've done a lot of work and it led me to this beautiful relationship that I'm in now. And I'm so lucky. But at the time, it's like, I really thought I was going to marry this person. Like, I really thought I was going to end up with them. How did this happen? Like, why is this happening to me? This isn't fair. But you're right. Like, it all happened. It's basically just like everything happens for a reason without saying everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Sometimes your plans aren't always the best plans.
Right.
Because we want things when we want them. But right. It's not always on our time on our timetable.
Absolutely.
So that's really what the burnt toast theory is all about, is things are happening for you, not against you.
Mm-hmm. Food for thought, guys. Eat that toast.
If there's one thing our boss, Mike Danger, said yesterday in a meeting, it was that our girl Breezy is maturing. She's growing.
I wasn't in this meeting.
No.
Not you guys talking about me without me there.
Wait a minute. Something's missing. Oh, right. It's you. Call or text Moose and Breezy now. 585-252-9800.
98.5, the number one hit music station.
I saw this on Facebook yesterday. And you know, I thought it was very interesting because everybody loves their pets. And
yes.
We all know they're not going to be around forever, which is why some people like Breezy's mom turns their old animals into taxidermies. But when the day comes to have to say goodbye, do you go into the room with your pet during their last moments, or do you choose to leave the room? Tell us why. 585-252-9800 is the number to call or text.
Right.
I personally was surprised to learn how many people don't want to be in a room with when their pet is passing. But would you agree that during these last moments is when your pet needs you the absolute most?
It's definitely hard, obviously. There's probably no other pain you're going to feel like quite like that one. It's very like its own entity. And it is tough. And it takes a strong person to be able to be there and, you know, hold your pet's paw when it's taking its very last breath. But
did you ever have to do that?
So I went to the vet with my parents when we were putting our golden retriever down. My brother and I left the room when it was actually happening. My parents stayed in there.
Yeah. You were younger, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
it. Was last year. No,
it's tough. I mean, because when you have an animal, they automatically become part of the family.
100.
It doesn't. And honestly, I know it sounds silly when you have like a pet goldfish or a turtle or something, but people lose it.
They do. They do. I mean, it doesn't matter the animal, you know?
It doesn't.
I mean, like, cats and dogs are the most, like, domestic pets, I guess you could say. But it doesn't matter. If you have a connection with that being, then you need to be there for them at the end. And just like they were there for you every night you came home or every day you were having a bad day.
They're waiting for you.
Cuddling your pet ferret, so important.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Cuddle the ferret. Hello, PXY.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Carmen.
Hey, what's happening, Breezy?
Oh, nothing much. What are you doing? What's up?
Hey, just driving. So I have a thought on the pet thing you guys were just talking about. Do you go in with your pet?
Yes.
Let it rip.
You absolutely have to go in with your pet. They're a family member, so I don't know how you can't go in.
True.
Yeah, I know. They're part of your life. I kind of agree with that, too. As hard as it is for some people, you got to spend your last moments with them.
We got a collie when I was probably 4 or 5 years old. Beautiful little girl named Queenie.
Queenie.
And by the time, you know, I was 18, I came home and I found her in the garage and she had like a stroke.
No,
and so,
not
yeah,
Queenie.
So she was a big, beautiful dog. We took her to the vet and the next day my father asked, you know, do you want to come into the room with us? You know, and I'm like, absolutely, I want to come in.
Yeah, right. That's the best thing, you know.
So we went in and they gave her that stupid shot. I cradled her head as she went away. And I'm so glad I went.
That's a good last moment.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up now thinking about it. But I'm so glad I went. Because how could you just leave your pet?
Yeah.
I know.
People do it. They do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for calling up and sharing, man. I appreciate it, Carmen.
Thanks for the vulnerability.
Yeah, guys. Have a great day.
We love you. See ya.
See ya, man.
Bye. See ya.
Let's go over to the text we got from Chrissy that says, I think some owners forget that you were the center of your pet's life, but they're also your family. No matter how hard it is, you can't leave them during that time.
Right.
We got another listener that says, good morning, guys. Don't let them die in a room with a stranger in a place they don't even like. It's very painful for veterinarians to see how pets can't find their owner during the last minute of their life. They don't understand why the owner left them. Don't be a coward because it's too painful for you. Think about the pet.
Yeah,
that's a great point too. Let's go over to Eileen on hold this morning. Hi, Eileen.
Hi there. Good morning.
So, what are your thoughts on this topic?
Well, I feel that all pets deserve to have last wishes before they die. I recently and it breaks my heart to even have to say this, but I never thought that the day would come. But I recently had to have my dog Benji put down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. He was a Yorkshire Terrier, and I'm telling you, he was the smartest dog you have ever met.
Sure.
And yeah, and I just wanted to say that it completely blows my mind how many people, when it's time to put their animal down, just leave the room. And I do get it. It's painful, but they don't realize that it's in these last moments of life that their pet needs them their absolute most.
Right.
And there are just, and there are just so many people that don't deserve to even have a pet. Every single pet deserves to have last wishes.
And so, how so? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, how are you... How does that work exactly, considering the fact that animals can't communicate to their owners or anyone for that matter?
Well, they could, but just without using words.
Right. I'm not really good with interpretation, so.
Well, when they die, and you would be surprised how many pet owners don't ask their pet what their dying wishes are. If you have had your animal for over 10 years, then you should already know what it is that they would love before they take their last breath.
Okay, so what was your dog Benji's last wishes?
Well, Benji's last wishes were simply a Himalayan bacon chew. And I think all you have to do is talk to your pets.
How did he communicate that to you though, Eileen?
Into his eyes, and I asked that question, what would you like? Tell mommy what you would like before you go to heaven. And I just waited for the response. That's what he said.
You felt it in your soul?
I did. It's like my third eye could read what he was telling me.
Okay.
It's true. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. Just do it. Everybody needs to do it.
I'm sorry your I'm sorry you're hurting.
Grieving.
Thank you. I mean, human beings are all asked what they would like before they pass. Why shouldn't we ask our pets?
No,
they deserve the same treatment, right?
Mm-hmm. Are you looking to... Well, obviously, like Breezy mentioned, I know you're grieving right now. Are you looking to get a new pet at some point to help keep you company?
Oh, my God. No, I can't even possibly even think about that.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. But the last thing I want to say is simply that I don't think people should even get an animal if you're going to deny them their last wish before they take their last breath. I just think that it's totally selfish.
Well, just ask your pet what their last wishes are before they take their last breath.
Yes. And if you don't, it's just selfish.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
All right. Well.
Well, thanks, Eileen.
Yeah, thank you for the insight. This is so helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. And all right. Well, good luck to you. And again, condolences to the passing of Benji, is it?
Yeah, Rip.
All right. Thank you all very, very much. And okay. Have a great day.
All right. You too, Eileen. Take care now.
So insightful.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now, I don't do drugs, but I definitely feel like I'm on something right now.
It was an interesting call.
So why did she sound like a Disney princess?
She's a sweet woman, Breezy. She's a sweet Grammy. I just, you know, where does one find a Himalayan bacon Jew? Like, okay.
Where are you finding these people is the better question.
I'm going to take a quick break, you guys. PXY Mornings. We'll be right back. Chris Breezy on PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in.
Literally stole my name, so.
Yes, that's, I guess that makes sense. What is your favorite compliment to receive about yourself, Breezy?
Well, there's just so many.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, as humans, we're kind of taught societally to not be vain in the sense of fish for compliments, ask people for compliments. And when you do receive a compliment, the initial reaction is always like, no, no, no. Or like to immediately insult yourself. I don't play those games.
No, of course not.
I embrace them fully. And I
hate giving someone a compliment, especially a woman, and they're like, oh, God, I feel so gross right now. I'm like, how about you just say thank you?
It's so awkward.
Just say thank you.
And I think, you know, when it comes to you going out of your way, maybe stepping out of your comfort zone to give someone a compliment, and they immediately shut you down because of their own insecurity, it's like, okay, well, I'll never do that again. Thanks, though.
That's it. I'm not handing out compliments anymore. That's it. You lost your privilege.
You did.
The compliments are officially staying in the back pocket.
When it comes to compliments, they're always nice to receive. And you also, being on the receiving end of them, have to know how to accept a compliment, right?
Sure.
So I guess I'll ask you the same question. What is your favorite compliment to receive about yourself? It can be physical or non-physical.
I've always appreciated when people have told me that I'm packing heat.
Okay.
Also, like, the nice eyes. You have very nice eyes. I've always appreciated.
Could have led with that. Could have led with that.
I've always appreciated.
Only a certain amount of people know that about you.
I've
Thank
always
you so much.
Appreciated the, you have very pretty eyes. And I didn't appreciate that as a kid growing up. I just thought it was annoying. But
why?
As
why were you so triggered by it?
Because it's just eyes. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, great. Yeah, thank you so much. But as I gotten older, I've realized, you know what? I do have nice eyes that stand out. It's the first thing people notice about me.
Right. They're the conversation piece.
Also, when somebody, there was a guy at the running the cashier at Wegmans not too long ago, and I was in the self-checkout, mm-hmm. and he goes, dude, are you an athlete? I said, oh, it depends. Why do you ask? He goes, you have huge calves. I'm like, oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, I thought he was going to ask if you were a jockey.
Right, of course.
I love you. Finger Lakes Racetrack. You know, the eyes are great because not everybody has great eyes. I feel like less people have beautiful eyes than not.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're just talking physical, there's those attributes. But
right.
if we're talking about things, you know, you want to go in depth. I've been told I'm a very selfless individual and I have a great sense of humor. Those are nice compliments.
You've been told you're selfless?
I am.
Really?
I'm very selfless. Yeah. I'm always thinking about others. I'm constantly thinking about other people. Why is that funny? What are you laughing at? What's the...
Who said that to you?
Oh, people all the time tell me that. Like, you're such a selfless individual. I'm like, it's not all about me. It's about you and the person next to you and our neighbors.
Of course. Of course.
I can't understand why that's so hard to believe.
It's not. I just was wondering who said it. That's all.
People. People say it. People have said it.
The masses.
The masses. The people have spoken.
My favorite compliment to receive about myself is, I receive it a lot, is that I have nice legs.
You got some pretty decent walking sticks. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
But I've always had nice legs. I don't know why. Even before I was like really into working out, I've always had like very muscular, very toned legs.
What about you guys? What are some of your favorite compliments people have given you? I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but they said, I love getting compliments on my belly button. I have a very nice navel. I like a woman who has a really nice belly button. I prefer an innie, not an outie, but that's just my personal preference.
Can't be choosers.
You know, it's not like you have a choice when you're born. It is what it is.
This person says, this is extremely niche. Again, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, but I've always been told that I have really beautiful cuticles and nail beds.
That's a good compliment.
That is very niche.
The cuticles? Are you kidding me? Mine are a mess.
Hannah's here. She said the best compliment that I love receiving is that I smell nice.
Oh, I like that compliment too.
You smell nice.
I do. Smell that Gucci cologne. By the way, this is totally off topic. I have cologne from 2012 that I'm still putting on. Is that weird? That's like 13, 14 years old?
Not at all. You have no idea. I have one set and one set only. They retired it, I think, when I was in high school. And I have stockpiled it since 07. It still smells the exact same.
Tell you, all my guys listening right now, you know what I'm talking about. Abercrombie Woods. They discontinued that a long time. It was the best smelling cologne of all the 2000s.
You will never experience a heartbreak more severe than your favorite scent
getting discontinued.
Retiring.
Yeah.
That's why I stock up on Pink Fresh and Clean, Victoria's Secret. And I have been putting on my Instagram story for the past 2 decades. Hey, does anyone have a bottle of Fresh and Clean pink spray underneath the bed at their parents' house that you haven't cleaned out in years? Never fails. At least 3 people always say yes.
Drew says, I also have nice legs and I like showing them off, which is why I wear shorts in the wintertime. Yeah, you're that guy. It's 12 degrees out. It's got the cargo shorts on with the flip-flops.
This person says, I used to receive a compliment all the time that I have beautiful hair, but since I've lost weight, I've lost a lot of my hair in the process, and I don't get that compliment as much anymore. I want to cry.
Well,
sorry, Betsy.
If you guys want to get together later with Breezy and I, we're going to be doing a happy hour, and we can all get together and compliment one another. How's that sound?
No, I'm into it. Where are we going?
I'm not sure yet, but I will be drinking skinny margaritas. But don't worry, ladies. This ass still fat. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. No, we got to go.
Hey, it's Devins. Every afternoon, I've got new songs you might not know yet. Lots of throwbacks you've probably forgot about. And, of course, the biggest PXY hits right now. Come hang with me starting at 3 right here on the number one hit music station.